lighting the torch of Lutherans and their traditions. When we speak of passing torches, we are really talking about tradition. And when our ears hear the word tradition, we invariably go to that thought of traditionalism. Traditionalism is a perversion, a twisting of tradition that bases our relationship with God Almighty upon the right traditions correctly performed by the right people. Pharisees and popes of various and sundry stripes have excelled at traditionalism over the years. And yet traditionalism can only and always incur the wrath of the one who prefers mercy to sacrifice. If the specter of traditionalism isn't potent enough to douse our talk about tradition today, the modern American mind, addicted as it is to contemporaneity, chokes on the thought of tradition. At least since the summer of 69, any real talk of tradition is treated with contempt. In reality, however, interfacing with tradition is just part of being human. Unless you are Adam and Eve, someone handed something to you, and you in turn will hand someone to the next generation that follows you. In other words, traditions aren't only found in museums, they are also found in malls. Traditions are cataloged by historians, but they also provide order to life in the present. Tradition is no static concept. Carl Schalk writes, "In actual fact, the Latin traditio, from whence we get the English word tradition, is an active word, an active concept, the act of handing over something from the past to the future. It is, at the same time, the ballast providing the necessary stability and continuity as Christians move from any present to the future." Traditions pepper our daily lives. Every morning I have a shaving tradition, razor on the right, towel on the left. Every morning I have a coffee tradition, which leads to my mid-afternoon heart palpitation tradition. My children each have their seat at the dinner table and squawk when someone sits in it. And this National Worship Conference is my every triennial end of July tradition. All of these traditions are mine, whether by active mentoring or passive observation. They become part of my life. Well, we're not here this morning to discuss a day in the life of Aaron Christie. We are here, however, to celebrate a day in the life of the Holy Christian Church. And brothers and sisters, because with the Lord a day is as 1,000 years, we have some serious work to do. As we gather to consider the magnificent variety of tradition that has been brought forth from the Church of Christ over the last 2,000 years, with so many things at our ecclesiastical fingertips, what is a torch that we will pass on? What is a torch that will take a pass on? To pick or to pan, that is the question. Timothy Mosch, in his book, Gathered Guests, A Guide to Worship in the Lutheran Church, gives us a welcome overview of tradition. You could sum up his discussion with the diagram, the chart that is there for you. Biblical traditions are those things that the Spirit has revealed to us through his apostles and his prophets. And remember, for God to reveal something is for God to give something. And because we Lutheran Christians take our scripture seriously, it is therefore impossible for us to imagine forsaking the assembly of believers in the name of Jesus. Christ himself has instituted a saving bath and a meal that serves as our appetizer of the Lamb's feast in heaven. All of these things have made the biblical cut. They are lights to our feet and lamps for our path. Catholic or Christian traditions are those things that have accompanied the bride of Christ as she has traveled throughout time and space. Christ instituted the sacraments, and it seemed wise to the church to celebrate those sacraments within the context of public worship. Christ has not given us a formula for any particular service, and yet it has seemed wise for the church to use the synagogue service of Jesus' day for our service of the word. Christ would have his people confess him before men. And so the church has carefully composed creeds to help God's people do precisely that. Confessional Lutheran traditions are those things that we have inherited from Martin Luther and the other Lutheran fathers. we understand the means of grace dogmatically, and therefore we apply them practically in the worship of God's people. We celebrate the annual festivals of the Lutheran Reformation and the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, festivals which are strangely absent in the Roman Catholic calendar. Interestingly enough, a distinctively Lutheran view of tradition holds that Catholic is not bad. 80% of Luther's hymns were not bar tunes, they were Gregorian tunes. Our Lutheran fathers quoted the ancient church fathers as readily as you and I quote the catechism. And many of Welsh members would be very surprised to see standing in Martin Luther's chancel a painting of Luther pointing at a crucifix. Welsh traditions belong to us. The black Geneva gown, as a symbol of Wittenberg's orthodoxy, was certainly inbred in me growing up in northern Michigan. And that torch, by the way, was quickly doused when my bishop told me I better have an alb hanging in my closet before I reported for vicaring that fall. Kidding aside, our efforts at preserving and strengthening our fellowship enabled us to adopt a hymnal in over 98% of our churches, and to make this national conference the largest Lutheran worship conference in the entire Western Hemisphere, which is shocking when you consider that other denominations are larger than us by millions. We in Wells, we have our ability to stick together, and yet we also appreciate our rugged individualism, which brings us to our parish traditions. Children's Christmas service is always on Christmas Eve. Children's Christmas service is never on Christmas Eve. In one parish, the cross is literally lifted high in processions, and in another parish, the cross is lifted high metaphorically when they sing that hymn. Finally, we come to personal traditions. I'm an early service kind of guy. We always attend late service. That's my seat. I love that hymn. You noticed, I hope, the font sizes and the order in the diagram above. They are not accidental. Because we love the Lord above all things, His word trumps all else. Because we love our neighbor as ourselves, we are mindful of our many neighbors throughout time and space and in many denominational orderings. Because we want to follow the scriptures and remember our leaders, not just in the abstract, but concretely, we take their torches into mind as we order the present. The point? It's simply biblical and common sense to confess that Jesus' words of institution are far more important than my personal preference for my seat. That the Apostles' Creed of old has far more gravitas as the church's confession than as the one that the youth group wrote at last summer's youth convention. Our Wells way of doing things is often quite fine, but we ought to perhaps be more inclined to look to the older Lutheran fathers first. So let's be practical. What should I pass on to my Carl, Petey, and Anna? What should I pass on to the children in my church, you to the children of your school, the enterprising young organist that you teach, and the young artist whose hand you guide? Begin by passing this on. Our opinions count for precious little. Yet the sinful nature in us wants nothing more than to flip that entire diagram upside down on its head. That I can use my personal preferences to opt for Culver's instead of Burger King doesn't mean that my commercial preferences apply to what hymns we sing. A biblical view of tradition douses our caffeinated consumerism. The scriptures rather encourage us to live for a while, to learn a lot, to love our neighbor as ourselves always, and then let me know what your personal preferences are. My personal preferences count for precious little, but the gospel counts for everything. What have we accomplished, friends, if we teach Johnny his whole notes, yet leave no lasting imprint on his heart of the Lamb who took away the sin of the whole world? What good is it for us to teach Johnny to sing in tune, and yet leave the new song of faith undone? What good is it to know the content of our worship books and yet not be counted in the Lamb's book of life? The gospel itself is what makes us Christian. We therefore seek to make every thought, word, and deed, every torch, every tradition, captive to Christ. And if we truly always put the gospel first, then I have a feeling that many other issues will be put to bed as well. What worship form shall we use? If the gospel is put first, the gospel will find its own forms. It's been doing that for 2,000 years already. What song should we sing and what sound should we use for that song? If the gospel is first, it will find its way into singing just as sure as it has found its way into human hearts. And as for the sounds of the gospel song, know this for certain, the Holy Ghost is no monotone. If the gospel is first, then those torches that promote the gospel will be passed and eagerly grasped. If the torch and the torches that take away from the gospel will eventually be doused, in that not a day too soon. So what do I want my sons and my daughter and my members to know? I want them to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want them to know that they are part of something absolutely huge that spans centuries and cultures and continents. I want them to know that they look absolutely beautiful as the bride of Christ. I want them to know their Lutheran history and that they have nothing to apologize for and everything to praise God for as sons and daughters of the Lutheran Reformation. I want them to know that they are members of a denomination that is no former ugly stepsister in the Synodical Conference of Blessed Memory, but members of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, whose commitment to Scripture is solid, whose confession is clear, and whose best days are yet before her. I want them to thank God for the four parishes that have been part of their lives, a blessing them to them in very many ways. I want them to know that they have their own traditions and their own part in the body of believers. And may God grant them finally to do much better with their children than I have done for them. And I want them to know their half notes and their whole notes too. All of this, just in that order. And if in that order, then the torch will burn brightly. As brightly as that day when fire settled upon apostolic heads and sons and daughters prophesied. This is no dream. In Christ who gives you all things, it's all yours.